All right, let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. John's Gospel, chapter 1. And I want to preach from one verse of Scripture this morning. The 40th verse will be my text verse. I want to encourage you to come back tonight. We have a singing group from Pensacola Christian College that will be here to sing for us this evening, do our special music, and they're always a blessing to have here. They always do a good job. Do what? Oh, they don't sing. They're playing strings. Okay, I like that too. And then this morning I'm going to preach on Andrew. You see Andrew in verse 40. I'm going to preach a message all about Andrew this morning. Tonight, I'm going to preach a message all about Mark. You know, Matthew, Mark, okay? That Mark. And he is known in Scripture as John Mark, so that sometimes confuses folks, but he went by the name of Marcus, all right? Peter was his mentor, so to speak. And he goes by the name of Marcus. When Peter references him, he calls him Marcus. But I'm going to speak to you tonight on John Mark, the guy who wrote the second gospel. And so we're going to have a good service tonight. I hope you'll be here for it at 6 o'clock. You don't have anything else to do, all right? No need in watching the Orioles. That's sad, isn't it? I don't know how in the world you can start off so good and then get so bad. But anyway, that's another sermon. And won't preach that one right now. But you don't have to work tomorrow. So just come on back to church and we'll have a good time tonight. And you'll be thankful you did. You'll learn something and you'll be blessed by the music. And it'll just be a good time of fellowship. All right, one verse, and if you looked at your watch, you know that we're running a few minutes over. That's Brian's fault, and so if I keep you a little later than normal, it's Brian's fault, okay? But look at verse 40. I got a message here that I want you to get. I want you to hear it. So, again, no problem. Look at verse 40. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, comma, Simon Peter's brother. Now, did you notice that? One that heard John speak, John the Baptist, and John, you remember, was saying, there he is, follow him. There's Jesus. Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. And one of them which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, comma, Simon Peter's brother. You know what's fascinating? Every time Andrew is mentioned in Scripture, it's always with a comma. And we're told that he was Simon Peter's brother. It's almost like he has no identity of his own. He's always in Peter's shadow. I want you to think about that this morning. I'm going to entitle the sermon this morning, Playing Second Fiddle. Playing Second Fiddle. Let's pray together. Father, I ask your blessings now upon the preaching of the Word of God. Thank you for the Bible. What an amazing book this is. And I pray that you will bless as the Word of God is taught and preached this morning. May we apply the truths that we're going to learn this morning. I'm sure that every person, whether young or old, can use something from the message today. I pray that something that is said will lodge in every heart, and that we'll be able to retrieve it and use it for your honor and for your glory. Give us your blessing now, Father, we ask. We need your blessing. I need your help as I speak. Give us ears to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. When you seriously read the Bible, you notice a lot of little nuances throughout the scripture. We find one of those little nuances right here in verse 40. Just about every time that Andrew's name is mentioned, now this does not count when he's listed as one of the disciples. I didn't say every time. I said just about every time Andrew's name is mentioned in the Gospels, it says Andrew, comma, Simon Peter's brother. It always says that. Now, why do the Gospel writers say that almost every time? And Andrew, comma, Simon Peter's brother. And what we see here in this passage of Scripture, and don't forget the context. Context is always important if you're going to understand the text. You always need to know what's going on around it. And what's going on around verse 40 is John telling us that Andrew came to know Christ as his personal Savior. And then when Andrew came to know Christ as his Savior, and he was led to Christ by John the Baptist, and then in verse 41, Andrew first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted to Christ. And he, Andrew, brought him, Peter, to Christ. So there's your context. And so as far as we know, Andrew was the first convert to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the first thing he did was he went and got his own brother and he brought him to Jesus. So Andrew has the honor of having been the first, or at least first among the disciples, to be won to Christ himself. Now, since then, an innumerable company that no man can number have followed after Andrew. Many from our country, from our nation, have crossed the seas and penetrated the language barriers and braved jungles and endured hardships beyond comprehension to get the gospel to the world. But at the head of all of us was a man by the name of Andrew, comma, who was Simon Peter's brother. So it seems like Andrew hardly had a reputation of his own. What little reputation he had was in his brother Simon Peter's name. He was introduced as Simon Peter's brother so many times, I dare say that he almost came to accept that description as a part of his name. Now, I wonder if that bothered him any. I wonder if it bothered Andrew that he was always identified as Simon Peter's brother. I wonder if he thought about maybe just throwing away that whole being a disciple thing and ever thought about just going back to fishing. I wonder if he thought to himself, I would rather be first in a little fishing boat on the Sea of Galilee than to have to play second fiddle among the rest of the apostles. Well, to be honest with you folks, I don't think it bothered him at all. Or if it did, it certainly isn't referred to anywhere in the four Gospels. I think that Andrew was just fine with playing second fiddle to his brother Simon Peter. And the reason I say it didn't bother him is because Every time Andrew is mentioned in the scripture, he is busy bringing someone to Jesus. It didn't bother him to have to play second fiddle. He was just doing what he was supposed to do. Didn't bother him a bit. It did not bother him that he was always identified as Simon's brother. Oh, he wasn't included in that inner circle of disciples. No, that was Peter, James, and John, not Peter, James, and Andrew. But it seemed like it didn't bother him to have to play second fiddle. Seems to me that Andrew was okay with his place in the ministry. I think Andrew was perfectly fine with playing second fiddle because he was just out for the kingdom of God first. Amen. He wasn't worried about himself. He was just worried about serving the Lord. And so I think he was willing to play any part in order to help make the kingdom of God the very best that it could possibly be. So let's think about this man who played second fiddle for a little while this morning. I want to just pull a couple of thoughts out of this verse, and I trust it will help you and be a blessing to you this morning. The first thing I want you to consider is this. I want you to notice that we cannot, all of us, always be on the first team. Think about that for just a minute. We cannot always, all of us, always be on the first team. When you read the Gospels, it becomes evident that Andrew did not make the first team out of the disciples. He is never out in front. Never. There are no books in your New Testament that have his name on them. John, oh yeah, he's got 5 books in the Bible. And Peter has 2 books in the Bible. But Andrew doesn't have any. And this is of interest to us because ours is likely to be a role similar to Andrew's rather than of John's or of Peter's. You see, all of us must play second fiddle at least most of the time. And the truth is, most of us have to play second fiddle all of the time. On the sports field, in the home, in school, in church, on our jobs. Truth is, few of us play a leading part. And I don't say this in a disparaging way, but only to be honest and real about a sobering reality. Andrew played second fiddle, not of a deliberate choice. But I think there were some good reasons why Andrew might have expected to be on the main team. That I think that he probably expected that he would be on the first team, but he wasn't. You say, well, Pastor, what are some reasons why he might have expected to be on the first team? Well, first, simply because of seniority. You see, he was the first one, as far as we know. He was the first one out of all the disciples who came to Christ. He was the first one chosen. And what right did Peter or did James or did John have to be ahead of him? Andrew was a disciple and a follower of Jesus before these other three. He was the first one, as far as we can discern from the scriptural account, who was brought to a saving knowledge of Christ. And it seems like he should have been first if you look at it in that light. You kind of get the idea that Peter and Andrew, who were brothers, by the way, don't forget that. Peter and Andrew and James and John, who were brothers, were kind of a quartet. Do you not kind of get that idea? They were all from the same town, and they fished together. They worked together. And before becoming disciples, they were, all four of them, closely associated with each other. Maybe they grew up side by side in Capernaum. Maybe they went to synagogue together. Maybe they played together in the schoolyard. Probably they were all together in a fishing business and had all four of them braved danger together, fighting storms on the Sea of Galilee, all as one. So how natural would it have been to expect Andrew to be listed above, among that inner circle? And yet, as we proceed through the Gospels, it's always Peter, James, and John as the inner circle, and Andrew is stuck over here to play second fiddle. He's never in the inner circle. I can imagine that there was a fishing company that was established. Maybe it was called PJ, J and A. You know, Peter, James, John, and Andrew Fishing Company. I don't know. But yet when they became disciples, Andrew is put over here, and Peter, James, and John are the inner circle of the disciples. One would think that this inner circle should have been a quartet and not a trio, but it just didn't work out that way, did it? You know, folks, let me just stop right here. Sometimes life's just not fair. You know that? I mean, sometimes life just doesn't, it's just not fair. I don't know how many times people have sat across the desk from me and have said, "Pastor, it's just not fair." Well, you're right. Life is not fair. I guess that's that's the price you got to pay with sin, isn't it? But the other three, Peter, James, and John, they got their promotion. Andrew never did get his. His expectations were doomed to disappointment. When death had come to the household of Jairus, do you remember that? And they sailed across the Sea of Galilee, and they came running out and told Jesus that the daughter of Jairus was dead inside. Jesus turned around and said, "Peter, James, and John, you come with me." And Peter, James, and John went inside the house, and they left poor old Andrew outside with the others. When Jesus went up on the mountain where he was transfigured, he took Peter, James, and John apart from the rest. And those three got to see the Lord Jesus glorified right in their presence. They got to hear Peter, James, and John. Andrew didn't get to go. But Peter, James, and John got to hear Moses and Elijah as they talked with the Lord about the cross and what was in his immediate future. But Andrew didn't get to hear any of that. And then in Gethsemane, when Jesus was just hours away from going to Calvary's cross, Jesus had Peter, James, and John with him. And once again, Andrew was not invited to come apart from the others. So don't you think Andrew was put in an extremely difficult situation? Folks, just think about it. I think probably he was thrust into the most difficult spot out of all the men chosen to walk alongside the Savior. It was probably difficult to watch his brother and his two dear friends that he had grown up with and who he had worked with. It was probably difficult to watch them forge ahead while he had to stay back and play second fiddle. And then to see Peter look back over his shoulder as if to say, sorry, little brother. Sorry, little brother. If it were up to me, you'd be coming with us. But the master only asked for the three of us to go. Oh, I think it would have been really tough for Andrew to handle that. But this was Andrew's lot in life. And as hard as it was to take, he just had to take it. That leads me to a second thought. You with me so far? Are you with me? Playing second fiddle. Think about it. Number two, I want us to think about how Andrew handled this matter. How did he handle this being set to play second fiddle? Well, first, Andrew did not do as I have seen so many do through the years. You know, I've been pastoring a long time. I've seen an awful lot. I've seen folks not be able to handle being second fiddle very well. And I tell you, Andrew did not do as I have seen so many do through the years. You say, well, Pastor, what do you mean? Well, I have seen so many folks grow bitter. I have watched him grow brittle. I have watched him get upset and ultimately rebellious against God and against their brethren. And you know, there are a lot of examples of this kind of behavior right in the Bible. This is not anything new. Can I take you back to the Old Testament to King Saul? And you'll not find a better example of jealousy and envy than what you see in King Saul. David killed Goliath. And then as they were marching back in celebration, a bunch of the ladies went out to the edge of town and welcomed everyone home. And they started to sing a song to greet Saul and all the soldiers coming home. And here's what they said. They said, Saul has slain his thousands. Man, old Saul's face lit up. He was smiling from ear to ear. But then they finished the song. They said, but David, his tens of thousands. And oh man, that did not set well with the king. He got jealous of David and it just threw him in a tizzy. And he hated David from that moment on. The man literally went mad with envy against David. Because of this envy that filled his heart, Saul ended up losing his throne and his family and eventually his own life simply because he could not play second fiddle. But there, I could stand here for hours and tell you stories from church. I could stand here for hours and tell you stories about Christians who didn't handle things any better than what Saul did. I'm talking about family after family, husbands and wives and sons and daughters who just could not play second fiddle to anyone or anyone's authority other than their own. Let me illustrate. Everybody knows all of the mother-in-law jokes, right? Oh yeah, we all know the mother-in-law jokes. If ever there is a woman who takes a beating in our society, it's the mother-in-law. Do you know the definition of mixed emotions? That's watching your mother-in-law go over a cliff in your brand new Cadillac. That's mixed emotions. Yeah, we all know the mother-in-law takes the brunt of all the jokes. Why is this? Why is it? Do you not realize that she was a mother before she was a mother-in-law? Why is this? I think the biggest reason that she becomes the object of ridicule is because she refuses to play second fiddle. She won't leave it alone. You know, the Bible said, therefore shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave unto his own wife. And there's a lot of mothers, whether on the bride's side or the groom's side, and they just cannot play second fiddle. And therefore, they're the object of our ridicule. Andrew learned, listen folks, this is so key. Andrew learned that a smaller place does not necessarily mean a smaller man. We need to realize that greatness of position is no absolute guarantee of greatness of soul. Heroes are still going to be heroes regardless of where they're situated. Do you not remember our Lord said, many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first? I mean, it is just a part of fallen natures for us to think that we must somehow be inferior if we are called to play on the second team. And that's not true. You all know that I love baseball. I love the Orioles, but we won't talk about that right now. I said I love baseball. And one of the things that I love to see in baseball is when the coach brings in a pinch hitter and that guy gets a hit and drives in the winning run. Listen, he is not a starter, but he has a role. And that's the way it is in the service of the King. You may not be in the starting lineup, but you got a role. And everybody has a role in the work of the Lord. You see, folks, it takes a lot of different people to make up a world. And one thing I've noticed about God is God likes variety. Aren't you glad that God didn't make us all exactly alike? Wouldn't it be awful if we all wore gray pinstripe suits and red ties? Well, it'd be a boring world we live in. Wouldn't it be awful if we were all the same? But God likes variety. If you and I were making the world, we would make a giant redwood to be in every forest. If you and I were making the world, every flower would be the Rose of Sharon. Every mountain would be a Rocky Mountain. Every bird would be the Bluebird. If we were doing it. But you see, God is a God of variety. Yes, the redwood has its place and the Rose of Sharon has its place and the bluebird has its place, but so does the scraggly little pine tree and the dandelion and the robin. They all have their own place. And so it is in the work of God. Not all of us can get up here and say, open your Bible and preach a sermon. Number one, we don't have that much time. I'm long and winded enough. Number two, some of you, if I said, all right, it's your turn, you're on, you would die right there on the spot. We would have to call the EMTs to come and haul you out of here. But God makes us all different, and God places us where He wants us to be. The thing is to be the best that you can be where you are. That's what Andrew did. I'm glad he didn't get bitter. I'm glad he didn't get angry. I'm so thankful. He gives us an example of how we're all to be. You say, well, Pastor, I can't do much. You can be here, can't you? You can pray, can't you? You can love others, can't you? You can give, can't you? Well, Pastor, I can't give much, but you can give something, right? Just do what God saved you to do. Number three, I got to hurry, we're out of time. Number three, Andrew learned, listen to this now, this ties in with what I'm just saying, we're building. Number three, Andrew learned not to play some chosen part, but to do his assigned part. Oh, so important. Folks, God made all of us different for a reason. Would you listen to me this morning right now? Would you be happy with the way God made you? Think about that for a minute. Just be happy with the way God made you. You say, but Pastor, no buts. Goats butt, sheep follow. Goats butt, Isn't that interesting? But sheep follow. You just follow the Lord's will for your life. Don't be a goat sitting there butting everything. Be a sheep and follow your Lord. He made you and He placed you. Be happy with the way God made you. You cannot be someone else. So many young people throw away their happiness trying to be someone they were never meant to be. You don't need to be somebody else. Be you. Let God use you. What is success? It is not to achieve this great prize or that great recognition. No, sir. Success is to play the part God has given you in the best possible way. This is just how God created this world. I don't know why He did it that way. You can ask Him when you get to heaven. I just know that this is how God created this world. Did you notice this morning when the choir and the orchestra were up here? There are four sections. There's the high soprano ladies over here. There's the low ladies, altos over here. Then there's the bass men, low part on the back row, tenor on the front row. In the orchestra, there are the high-toned instruments, and there are the low-toned instruments. Some play the melody, and if you were sitting up here where I am, you could hear that clear as a bell, trust me, in both ears. Some play the melody, and some play the harmony. But when it all blends together, it makes that wonderful sound. And folks, I'm telling you, it takes all of us in the family of God all doing our part to make a wonderful sound for the glory of God. And I think Andrew realized that in God's great purpose, there is not large or small. There is neither big nor little. In the service of the King, in the service of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, there is just filling the space where God has placed us. Just filling the space. Even if that place is a small place, it is nonetheless a place that will be empty if you're not in it. And folks, Andrew was successful because he did what he was asked to do. Now, there are three scenes, and I close with this. There are three scenes past this one. There's this one, but then there are three more that I want you to think about. And let me show you that this man was right where he was supposed to be, doing what he was supposed to be doing. Did it bother him to play second fiddle? I don't think it did a bit. Let me show you why I say that. Three scenes. First, he brought Simon Peter to Jesus. We all know what Simon did, right? We all know what Simon did. Simon Peter has two books in the New Testament. But think about it. There would have been no Simon Peter had there not been an Andrew.
That's right.
Right? Second, Andrew, remember this story, feeding of the 5,000? 5,000 men. That's what the Bible says. 5,000 men. Now, if they were all married, that's 5,000 women. And then you put their 3.6 children in the equation, and you got a whole heap of people on that shore, right? And they didn't have any food. They didn't have enough money to go to McDavid's and buy hamburgers for everybody. What are they going to do? And in the beautiful story that is told, we find out what happened. Now think about it for just a minute, folks. Peter, James, and John, the inner circle, they were the hot shots, the big wigs, the CEOs. They were around Jesus managing the adults. 5,000 men, probably another 4,000 to 5,000 women. And there's Peter, James, and John managing the adults. But there were more children there than were adults, right? Who was managing the children? How was it that Andrew knew that there was a little boy there who had a lunch that his mother had made for him? I tell you how he knew. He was managing the kids. Peter, James, and John were probably managing the adults. But Andrew said, there is a lad here. Hey, folks, none of the other disciples said anything about a child, but Andrew did. And the whole crowd ate their fill because Andrew's attention, because of Andrew's attention to the little things. And then thirdly, one day a delegation of Greek men, Gentiles, they came to Jerusalem looking to see Jesus. And the Bible says that they came to Philip, one of the disciples. They came to Philip. Now, why did these Greeks go to Philip? Well, the answer to that is because Philip is not a Jewish name. It's a Greek name. And they went to Philip because they thought he was a Greek. And they said to Philip, we would see Jesus. Now, you go home this afternoon and check your Bible and find out what happened. And here's what you're going to find out. Philip looked around and he said, oh, ma'am, what do I do now? And he went and found Andrew. And Andrew went to Jesus and brought the Greeks to Jesus. Why did Philip not know what to do? Well, he couldn't go bother Peter, James, and John. They're bigwigs, remember? So who does he go to? He goes to the one that plays the second fiddle. He goes to the one who's the doer. He goes to the one who gets the job done. Folks, somebody has got to play the second fiddle. If you have an orchestra and all you have is the first chair, something's missing. And there's just got to be somebody playing second fiddle. So he came to the wise, to the modest, to the humble Andrew. And Andrew came and introduced these Greeks to Jesus. Folks, listen, here's the point. Not everybody can be the king. Not everybody can be the CEO. Not everybody can be the top dog. And I just want you to know that there is nothing wrong with playing second fiddle. You know, old Philip may have thought that Peter, James, and John were just too busy to interrupt with such a trivial matter as a few old Gentile Greek guys wanting to meet the master. But Andrew was not too busy. Andrew was not too busy. He was more than happy to help even some Gentiles come face to face and shake hands with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm just saying, thank God for those that are willing to play second fiddle. Thank God for those who don't have to be in the limelight. They don't have to have the spotlight shining upon them all the time. Thank God for those that are willing to do the little things that benefit all the rest of us. Playing second fiddle.